were accessed by two tight tunnels that smelled of grease. Lorin had taken the port turret and eased herself into the cracked leather seat with easy familiarity. The prosthetic glove on her left hand was just sufficient to wrap around the cannon's hand grip, while her right hand handled the delicate movements required to target and fire. The cannon itself operated smoothly, swinging freely on its gimbals as though fresh out of the factory. It wasn't the first time she had noticed the mismatch between the Auriga Fire's appearance and its capabilities. Another concerned its compact tractor beam facility, recessed behind a hatch in the ship's broad belly. It was a wildly non-standard feature for a ship of this size. She was curious to know how often it came in handy in the pursuit of Jet's normal job, but didn't really think Jet would admit to anything. For the moment, the flash and pound of the cannons was all that concerned her. A quick depression of the trigger, and a web of wriggling hexes vanished in a ball of gases. "This is as easy as shooting stump lizards on Kifex," she called to Shigar over the head-mounted comlink. "Watch that trio coming in from above," was all he said. Lorin swung the tri-laser and blasted them into atoms. "Don't worry about the Grandmaster," she told him. "We'll find her." He had been subdued ever since the Corellia had detonated, shooting hexes with lethal speed and accuracy. 2/3 of the cruiser's escape pods were now accounted for, but Master Satil wasn't in any of them. Shigar had tried broadcasting over all channels, but the electromagnetic spectrum was a mess. What wasn't jammed by the black hole, Imperials or panicked chatter was full of hexes screeching. It was all the new Republic commander could do to coordinate the larger ships into safely picking up the escape pods without picking up hexes by accident as well.
"Dead ahead,"
said Jet from the cockpit. An escape pod had collided with two hexes that were in the process of cutting through the pod's thin hull. The Auriga Fire swooped in to help.
"One each, Hetchke,"
Lorin said, as the tractor beam wrenched invisibly at the hexagonal droids.
"Favoritism is strongly frowned upon back here."
She wondered if the former security guard knew she was joking. One hex tumbled away to port for Shigar to shoot, while the other, after a protracted struggle, wriggled into Lorin's sights. Then it was up to Ula to give the pod's panicked occupants coordinates for the rendezvous point.
"Stay in the channel we've cleared," he told them. "Don't take any shortcuts."
"It was horrible,"
babbled a young midshipman on the other end of the line.
"There were suddenly so many of them, and they moved so fast."
"You're safe now. Just stay in the channel and do what Captain Pippolidi says."
"Yes, yes, and thank you. Another few seconds, we'd have been holed for sure."
The pod fired up its retro rockets and headed off in the right direction. Lorin hoped its occupants would be okay now. Several had been rescued and then fallen afoul of the hexes again, through either bad luck or poor judgment. One had stopped to rescue another pod in distress, only to be overwhelmed by hexes hiding inside. The Auriga Fire had been too far away to help, but the screams had carried. Captain Pippolidi, the Ankh in charge of the commoner, and by default what remained of the fleet, had a difficult job ahead of her, distributing the traumatized survivors through the remaining 8 ships at her disposal. Lorin didn't envy her that job at all, with long-range comms scrambled and nothing larger than a light assault cruiser to fill the place of the Corellia. But at least the lesson had been learned. The hexes might not look like much individually, but they were tough, and in large numbers were to be taken very seriously indeed.
"There's another pod at the other side of the web ahead," said Jet. "Do you think you can get us through?"